Welcome to Redmond Radio. I'm your host, Michael Domingo. Thanks for downloading and listening to this show. Here's what we'll cover in this episode for the week of April 21st. SQL Server 2008 gets spatial data support. Windows XP SP3 is rumored to be released this week. Project Albany goes up against Google Apps. And the PCI publishes guidelines for better security of online customer data. We'll head to the first news bits from Redmond right after this quick sponsor message from Citrix.
Virtualization is one of the most talked about technologies in recent history. You know the benefits already, but are your servers virtualized yet? Are you waiting because of the cost and complexity? There's no need to wait. Citrix Zen Server is the simple, low-cost way to get up and running now. In as little as 10 minutes, your servers can be virtualized. So download a free copy of Citrix Zen Server now. Just go to www.citrix.com/zenserver. That's www.citrix.com/xenserver and get your 10 minutes to Zen.
Welcome back, and thanks for listening to Redmond Radio, the weekly podcast roundup of Microsoft news and other IT happenings. I'm your host, Michael Domingo, and I'd like to thank everyone who downloads or streams this show or shares it with others. And be sure to listen to the end of the podcast to find out how to enter my weekly Redmond t-shirt giveaway. Now here's what made headlines over at redmondmag.com last week, and we start off first with some SQL Server news. The soon-to-be-released SQL Server 2008 offers new support for spatial data types that some analysts say should deliver a real boost to geospatial applications and data sharing. Expected to ship in the third quarter, the new version of SQL Server will allow storage of spatial data in the form of points, lines, and polygons in SQL tables. The software will offer a set of functions to allow the manipulation of this data and new spatial indexes to support the execution of these functions. The move is especially important, according to John Baleja, senior product manager at mapping software provider ESRI, because about half the company's customer base now uses SQL Server. ESRI is the dominant vendor of geospatial software in the federal sector. Meanwhile, improvements are afoot as Microsoft announced that it plans to release the next service pack to SQL Server 2005, Service Pack 3. Sometime in the third quarter of this year, or after Microsoft releases SQL Server 2008 to manufacturing. In addition, Microsoft issued notes describing the availability of Cumulative Update 7 for SQL Server 2005, Service Pack 2. CU7 is intended for users severely affected by certain problems. Those not affected should wait until the next service pack is released, according to Microsoft's notes. Microsoft's PSS SQL Server engineers strongly cautioned that applying CU7 can affect analysis services backup and sync operations. The problem is associated with a timeout issue, as the PSS SQL blog explains. The blog describes some workarounds, but it generally recommends that administrators schedule database backups at a time that will not overlap with processing of objects in the database. The cumulative updates are part of what Microsoft calls its incremental servicing model. In personnel news, all about Microsoft's Mary Jo Foley reported last week that William Poole, one of the Windows executives who oversaw the development of Vista, has left the company. Poole's most recent position at Microsoft was a co-corporate vice president for Unlimited Potential, a division of Microsoft focused on promoting technology and computer skills in emerging markets. But prior to that, he was a senior vice president for the Windows client division when the company was developing Vista. Microsoft has had several high-profile executives depart in the past few months, including Vice President of Corporate Development Bruce Jaffe and Corporate Vice President of Windows Core Technology Rob Short. In January, Jeff Rakes, President of Microsoft Business Division, announced he would retire in 2009, and of course, Chairman Bill Gates is scheduled to retire in July. Rumors that Windows XP Service Pack 3 will appear this month continue to flourish. Release dates for Windows XP SP3, purportedly from Microsoft, were published last week on the neowin.net website and suggest that the XP update will be released to manufacturers sometime this week and be available to the general public on April 29th. Microsoft, of course, would not confirm those dates. Buyers of some new PCs soon will not be able to get them loaded with Windows XP. Microsoft plans to stop selling XP licenses for new PCs after June 30th, according to Michael Dix, Microsoft's general manager of Windows Client Product Management. Microsoft is phasing out XP in favor of Windows Vista, although the company plans to extend XP's licensing for ultra-low-cost PCs. OEMs typically load Linux or XP on these ultra-low-cost PCs, which have limited hardware capabilities. One such manufacturer is Asus, which began offering its 7-inch-wide EEE laptops with XP. This month, Microsoft and HCL Infosystems announced an agreement to launch the world's lowest-cost Windows OS-enabled laptop. As of last Tuesday, Vista Service Pack 1 was made available in all 36 supported languages. Microsoft initially rolled out Vista SP1 in just 5. Microsoft stated through its blog that DVD images would be made available in all language versions, available over the next few weeks. Customers accessing SP1 via DVD images typically include TechNet Plus subscribers, MSDN subscribers, and volume license customers. Some users that currently have Vista SP1 installed have had problems with some USB devices, such as mice and flash drives, not working after Microsoft's April 8th security patch was applied, according to some news accounts. And removing the drivers and reinstalling them reportedly does not fix the problem. It's not clear how widespread this USB problem may be, but Microsoft is officially on the case. Microsoft is reaching out to a broader cadre of developers while also looking to expose its existing ones to the entire Windows development stack. Microsoft kicked off the effort last week at the Embedded Systems Conference Silicon Valley 2008, where the company is disclosing the next release cycle of its family of embedded system software. Redmond is rebranding Windows CE and Windows XP Embedded under the names Windows Embedded Compact and Windows Embedded Standard. The effort also includes added certification. In related news, Microsoft unveiled BizTalk RFID Mobile, a solution designed to work with Microsoft BizTalk Server 2006 R2 and other Microsoft products. General availability of BizTalk RFID Mobile is expected in late 2008. In the meantime, the company started a program for its customers and partners to test out the solutions. They can sign up for Microsoft's BizTalk RFID Mobile Technology Adoption Program through the Microsoft Connect website. And one more item on the developer front. Microsoft is finally working to tune up its Microsoft Developer Network site. The effort promises to resolve long-running frustrations developers have encountered working with the online library and resource. Redmond Developer News has learned that Microsoft has assembled a task force to determine how it can improve MSDN, a site that aggregates much of Microsoft's technical content for developers. The task force, which spent much of last week in New York interviewing developers, made a stop at the meeting of the New York City .NET Developers Group held in Microsoft's New York City offices and revealed its effort to a group of more than 100 people attending the meeting. Microsoft last week revealed that its codenamed Albany project is a consumer-oriented hosted service that provides Excel, PowerPoint, and Word applications, as well as security and collaboration tools. The service has some similarities to the free Google Apps cluster of online applications, although Albany won't be free. Albany currently is made available only to a private group of beta testers, according to an announcement issued by Microsoft. Talk of Albany's existence surfaced last month, after beta testers began receiving invitations for the trial. When released, Albany will be a subscription-based service that includes access to the Office, Home, and Student 2007 productivity suites, along with the OneNote collaboration tool, as well as Windows Live OneCare and email, messaging, and a photo gallery space. And in our last item in this segment, security personnel in Redmond last week started investigating a newly reported zero-day bug vulnerability in Microsoft operating systems and server systems. The bug allows escalation of privilege to occur for authenticated users under specific conditions. Users on a given system can elevate their access privileges to local system in Windows XP, Windows Server 2003, Windows Vista, and Windows Server 2008. Microsoft's Bill Sis explained in an email to RedmondMag.com that it could cause havoc by giving an authenticated user inappropriate write, delete, and change privileges. Up next, we'll have news from the far reaches of IT. Do remember to listen to the very end of the podcast to find out how to enter the t-shirt giveaway. You're listening to Redmond Radio. hope you enjoy listening to this program and staying informed with what's happening in IT. Please, please pass this show around to your colleagues. Before we finish up with the rest of the podcast news, here's an update regarding what's online on the Redmond Media Group websites. In Redmond Magazine in April, how user groups are gaining power and how you can network with them to gain an IT edge. And in Redmond Channel Partner in the April issue, how partners can profit from the green computing push. Once again, a reminder to listen all the way to the end of the podcast for details on how to enter our weekly Redmond t-shirt giveaway. Now let's check out some newsworthy IT items from last week. Google and Salesforce.com have integrated some of their hosted solutions with customers using Salesforce.com's customer relation management solution, now having access to the Google Apps Office Productivity Suite within Salesforce. The new combined solution is called Salesforce.com for Google Apps and was made available last week for free to Salesforce customers. This integrated solution now squares off with Microsoft Dynamics CRM Online, which is already integrated with Microsoft Office. A New York Times story last week quoted Microsoft's CRM General Manager, Brad Wilson, who indicated that the Google Salesforce.com integration just validates Microsoft's approach. Salesforce.com CRM application integrates with Google Apps Calendar, email, and instant messaging applications. Users can have their email activity automatically tracked within Salesforce.com CRM application, preserving communications associated with sales activities. Documents and proposals can be shared using the collaborative aspects of Google Apps. Sometime this summer, Salesforce.com plans to offer a supported version of Google Apps, along with a supported version of Salesforce.com for $10 per user per month. MarkLogic has submitted its extensible markup language database server for Common Criteria certification. Version 4.0 of MarkLogic Server Enterprise Edition will be tested at Evaluation Assurance Level 3. In addition, the certification will be augmented with ALC_FLR.3, an assurance on the part of the vendor that it has a process in place to track and fix flaws found in the software found after the certification is issued. Overseen in the U.S. by the National Information Assurance Partnership, Common Criteria is a set of security requirements set by government agencies and private companies. To get their products certified, vendors provide a set of security attributes for each product, which are verified by an independent laboratory. NIAP is a partnership between the National Institute of Standards and Technology and the National Security Agency. MarkLogic Server is a database server for handling XML data, one that uses the XQuery and XPath standards. To date, no other XML databases have achieved Common Criteria certification. Citrix Systems said its new enterprise desktop virtualization product, Xen Desktop, will debut next month. Currently available in beta format, Xen Desktop offers on-demand virtual desktops for both local and remote workers. The company is touting Xen Desktop as an end-to-end desktop virtualization solution that dramatically simplifies the creation and management of virtual desktops. The product is part of Microsoft's and Citrix's previously announced collaboration on virtualization products. Xen Desktop is designed for Windows Server 2008 and can be managed via Microsoft System Center. Both companies will market the product. Last week, hundreds of executives at some of America's most well-known companies received emails purporting to be a subpoena. As many as 2,000 top managers at high-profile corporations nationwide received email messages early in the week that looked like an official subpoena from the U.S. District Court in San Diego, California. Though this hoax could have been much worse, it still brings attention to the fact that hackers are getting more sophisticated by disguising attacks via some friendly overture. Andrew Storms, Director of IT Security Operations at San Francisco-based N-Circle Network Security, said the problem highlights the new trend of spear phishing, which is defined as a highly targeted and incredibly customized version of a phishing attack. As a countermeasure, the Real Federal Court for the Central District of California has posted an advisory on its website, alerting users of the nature of the attacks and admonishing them to report such incidents. Even the IT security think tank, SANS Institute, got in on the act with notes on its homepage urging users who receive subpoenas via email to take them immediately to the company's in-house counsel, private lawyers, or federal law enforcement. Security patches that guard against such attacks have also been relatively prevalent in recent Patch Tuesday releases from Microsoft, more evidence that phishing is a concern that isn't going away. And in our final item, the PCI Security Standards Council last week announced plans to issue new guidelines that it hopes will give transaction application developers and security specialists a clear direction when it comes to assessing risks surrounding customer and vendor data and most notably credit card and payment information. The Council will roll out version 1.1 of the Payment Application Data Security Standard, the specific set of guidance that may indeed serve as a roadmap for third-party application developers to produce secure payment software. Such checklists and criteria were originally under the purview of Visa Incorporated via its Payment Application Best Practices Program. It was in 2007 that the PCI Council said it would study the possibility of bringing those suggested procedures under its umbrella. The goal is to help software vendors and others develop secure payment applications that do not store prohibited data such as full magnetic stripe or sensitive authentication data or PIN data, and ensure their payment applications support compliance with the payment card industry security standards. In a phone interview with RedmondMag.com, PCI Council spokesman Glenn Boyette continued to emphasize that though the word compliance is often used, the Boston-based nonprofit council is not an enforcement agency, and that the readiness of application developers and accompanying system security auditors would ultimately be determined by the card companies. The PCI Council says it will issue further guidance in the form of a white paper slated to be released in May. The white paper will cover myriad topics, including specific requirements for transaction application security and how PCI Council certified payment application security assessors will be named through an accreditation process. And that's it for this week's episode of Redmond Radio, by the way. As usual, before we head to the end of the podcast, I'd like to once again remind faithful Redmond Radio listeners that you can win a t-shirt in my weekly Redmond t-shirt giveaway. Real easy to enter, just send me an email with the new t-shirt giveaway phrase, "I want a t-shirt," on the subject line of your message to mdomingo@1105media.com. That's mdomingo at 1105media.com. And note the phrase is "I want a t-shirt," not Redmond t-shirt as it has been in the past. Entries not sporting the new phrase will be ignored. This week's winner is Scott C., who hails from I don't know where, since it's not in his email. Thanks to Scott C. for listening, and good luck to everyone else next week. Well, that's it for this week's episode of Redmond Radio. I'm Michael Domingo. I'd like to thank Citrix once again for their sponsorship of this program. And I also want to thank all you listeners who continue to support Redmond Radio by streaming and downloading this program. See you here next week.